Good afternoon. I will call this meeting of the House Housing Finance and Policy Committee to order, and I would ask Representative Hassan if she's had a chance to review the minutes.
Yes, Mr. Chair, and I move the minutes.
Representative Hassan moves the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Minutes are approved. Members, we did remove a bill today, so we just have one bill up, and it's mine, House File 1440. And so I'm going to give the gavel to Representative Hassan, and I'll head up for our one bill of the day.
Chair Howard, would you like to move your bill in front of the committee?
I would, Madam Chair.
I believe you also have an A5 amendment. Would you like to move your amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, I would move the A5 amendment to get the bill in the shape I would prefer.
All right. Discussion on the amendment. All right. Representative Myers.
Yes. Thank you, Chair Hassan. Representative Howard, can you just give a brief description of what this does?
Madam Chair, Representative Myers, the A5 amendment gets the bill in the shape that we'd like it. Specifically, we create some language because we know the needs facing Minnesotans are so acute, some language that will allow us to deliver resources sooner and get to Minnesotans sooner. You'll note there is an amount figure that isn't filled in. We are hearing this bill. I'm hoping the discussion will help us answer that question. We're going to hear this bill, lay it over. It would be our intent to not to move this bill forward until that's a figure that we fill in. And that refers to the amount that we'd like to make available sooner, again, so that we can get resources to Minnesotans that are in need sooner.
Rep. Myers, do you have a follow-up?
No, that's it. Thank you.
All right. All in favor of adopting the A5 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. The amendment is adopted. Chair Howard, please present your bill.
Thank you, Chair Hassan. Members, as this committee has discussed already plenty this session, thousands of Minnesotans are falling behind when it comes to their housing costs, falling into eviction, losing their homes, becoming homeless. And the number one reason is the inability to pay for rising rent. This is a palpable crisis in our communities that requires urgent and immediate attention and action. Throughout much of the pandemic, federal resources were utilized to help Minnesotans who had fallen behind, and ultimately, this was successful. We helped Minnesotans stay stable in their homes, we helped landlords be made whole, and we kept our state moving forward. In the beginning of 2022, those federal resources dried up, but the needs and the challenges facing Minnesotans did not. And there are just so many indicators that show the dire straits that many Minnesotans are facing. In 2022, Greater Twin Cities United Way, who operates the 211 resource line, received more than 400,000 calls from Minnesotans. The top reason people reached out to 211 was housing, shelter, and utility assistance requests, representing more than 60% of all those requests. As we've heard, over 20,000 evictions were filed last year. There was over 200% increase in family homelessness in Hennepin County and increases in family homelessness all across the state. And what I'd mention here is that the housing crisis we've been talking about in this committee, there's both an immediate one and a systemic one, and we need policy priorities that reflect that. And what I mean is we need to respond to the acute challenges facing Minnesotans right now while also having the conversations about the long-term structural changes we need to make. And this bill is really dealing with those acute challenges, Minnesotans that are falling behind on their rent, falling into eviction, and becoming homelessness. And so the tool that we are using in this bill is the Family Homelessness Prevention and Assistance Program, which is well-suited to do that. FHPAP is an established program serving all 87 counties across Minnesota. Local experts are able to coordinate with Minnesotans experiencing housing instability and help with rental assistance and other essentials to keep them stably housed. It's a program that works. It prevents housing displacement, getting us upstream to help families before they're facing an eviction or homelessness, and all the collateral consequences that comes with it. This bill would provide $100 million base increase to FHPAP, the same number that's included in the governor's budget, and we appreciate the partnership on this shared priority. Our amendment that I discussed would also permit a subset of these resources to get to Minnesotans more quickly, because as we discussed, the needs are clear and present right now. It's my hope that this discussion, this committee, can help us better assess that urgency and need, and that we would be back to fill in some blanks and move this bill as a standalone to Ways and Means soon, because there's no reason to wait until the end of session to pass this bill, because Minnesotans are facing challenges with their housing costs right now. Time is of the essence. So I look forward to the testimony and the discussion today, and to folks that can even more clearly make the case for the need to move forward. But I would close as this. There's something perverse about having a $17 billion state budget surplus while homelessness is skyrocketing, while families are suffering. We should take this opportunity right now to invest in resources that will help stabilize families and help Minnesotans succeed. That is what this bill does, and I urge support to move it forward urgently. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Howard. I believe you have testifiers. Representative Nash, do you have an urgent question now, or do you want to wait for the testifier?
I'm not sure my questions are ever urgent, Madam Chair. we will get to them, hopefully.
Okay, yeah, we will. We'll have plenty of chance to have a conversation. Okay, thank you. Let's get through the testifiers. Our first testifier is Nalima, who is the Executive Director of African Career Education and Resources. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Nalima Sitati Munene. I'm the Executive Director of ACER. ACER is the African Career Education and Resources Inc. We're an issue-based organization, and our mission is to close the inequity gaps that exist within our communities. We're located in the northwest suburbs. ACER was also one of the field partners contracted by Minnesota Housing Finance Agency to administer the Federal Emergency Rental Assistance Program. I am here on behalf of our constituency base to testify in support of this bill. And I'm not going to dwell on the facts and figures and the statistics, because I think most of you already have the facts and figures and statistics. What I would like to do this afternoon is to really speak to what we have had from our constituency base, who are mostly tenants who are impacted by the current housing crisis. And so I would like to relay a lot of the conversations that we have been having with them before the pandemic. During the pandemic especially, we definitely acknowledge the pandemic exacerbated, the housing crisis that we are facing right now. And even though there's a lot of conversation about post-pandemic, I can tell you that a lot of our community members are not on the other side of the pandemic. So 5 years. It takes about 5 years for somebody who gets an eviction filing to ever be able to get back on their feet. Because in the state of Minnesota, it only takes the filing to go on your record. It doesn't matter whether you prevail in court. It doesn't matter if the landlord drops the case. Once the filing is made, your record is tagged. And for most of the tenants we work with, it takes them at least a minimum of 5 years. And we do not have automatic expungement in Minnesota. It is still, the onus is still on the tenant, to go and clean up their record if they have an eviction filing. And so last week we spoke to our county commissioner's office, and we know from the numbers they received from the sheriff's office in Hennepin County, we have at least 200 writs at that time were being executed per week in Hennepin County. Those are 200 families, not just 200 people. In the northwest suburbs where I live, I know that translates to a minimum of 800 people, because in the northwest suburbs, the average number of tenants in one apartment is between 4 to 5. So we know that's a minimum of at least 800 people per week. And so we're not stemming the tide, and we need to move emergency rental assistance into our communities as quickly as possible. Last week, I also met with one of the homeless coordinators in one of our high schools in the northwest suburbs. It's one of the largest high schools in the state, and that is a big concern for them. We were putting together with community members blankets and socks packs for high schoolers who are couch hopping because their families cannot afford to pay rent. But every evening, they have to contend with hearing on the news about an over $17.1 billion surplus. And honestly, I came to the state capitol today and was supposed to come with other testifiers because the expectation was that we were going to move this forward, and people are kind of disappointed. So I am here to testify in support of this bill, but I'm also here to urge you as legislators to please move as quickly as possible so that we can be able to realize housing stability for our communities. And it's not just for adults. It is having a huge impact on our youth, most of whom did not have access to the homeless shelter system. And also, it's impacting the school system as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Up next, we have Jenny Larson, who's the executive director of Three Rivers CAP. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Representative Howard, thank you for bringing forward this bill. My name is Jenny Larson. I'm the executive director of Three Rivers Community Action. We're a nonprofit located in Zumbrota that works in four counties in southeast Minnesota, Goodhue, Rice, Wabasha, and Olmsted counties. Three Rivers is a nonprofit that provides a wide array of programming to address the causes and conditions of poverty, and about half of our work is related to housing. We provide housing services across the continuum. We do everything from homeless prevention to home rehabilitation. We're a housing developer and owner, and we have a robust home ownership program. During the pandemic, we were a COVID-19 housing assistance program, or CHAP, administrator, and we were a field partner in the Rent Help program. And for a really long time, we've been an administrator of the Family Homeless Prevention Assistance Program, or FHPAP. I'm here today to testify in support of Representative Howard's bill. We need additional emergency rental assistance, and we need it now. We can't wait. Our network of providers is, we cover the entire state, and we are ready to and well-suited to distribute these funds. We were able to quickly distribute previous versions of emergency rental assistance, and there is a network out there connected to the tenants that need us, connected to the landlords that will house us, and we are ready and willing to administer these funds. I can tell you right now the current level of funding of FHPAP is simply not enough. In our four county area, we release our funds quarterly, and our funds are gone within a week. So that means for 11 weeks out of the 12-week quarter, our staff are working with people who are calling us, trying to scramble to find other resources, because the resources through this program have been spent. So we're working to try to get them emergency assistance at the counties and connect them to the Salvation Army and other organizations that are just piecemealing assistance together to prevent people from having that eviction on their record. In 2022, we tracked that we turned away 300 households asking for $450,000 in assistance. And that was only the people who were willing to let us write down what they were looking for. Many people, they call us and say, do you have anything available? They hear we're out of funds, they hang up the phone. That's just who we know about, and we know the need is much greater than that. I have a story of somebody that we've turned away recently. And so we have a single mom who was working two jobs, And she came to us because she had lost one of her two jobs and could no longer afford her rent. She was past due and was worried about the eviction that would be looming. We unfortunately, it was after that first week of the quarter, we didn't have any funds to help her. This was somebody who was in Olmsted County, and the county emergency assistance was also expended. I heard the county staff say at a hearing earlier today that their funds are expended and their next allocation doesn't start until July 1st. So Olmsted County is a big county, and there's no assistance available there. So this is somebody who now is worried because our funds are gone and there isn't funds in her county, and she's worried about eviction. And that makes it harder to go find that second job that she needs to begin to get herself back on her feet. We hear stories like this every day, and the tenants need us. They need this program. They need the assistance. I really believe that the assistance through the administrators, it comes with case management. We're helping people connect to all the resources that are available to them. But housing has to come first. Without a stable place to live, people just simply can't get back on their feet. And so I urge you to pass this bill quickly. I appreciate that that's part of the hearing today, and I want to thank you for your time and attention to this really important matter.
Thank you very much. Up next, we have Madeline Kassler, Deputy Director, Housing and Community Resources, Dakota County Social Services. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Good afternoon to the chair and members of the committee. My name is Madeline Kassler, and I'm with Dakota County Social Services. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. Dakota County's housing area includes services across the entire housing continuum. So we have prevention services, street outreach, shelter, and rehousing services for people who are experiencing homelessness. Prevention is a key element to our service continuum, and it impacts the rest of that continuum. Without well-resourced homelessness and eviction prevention services, our homelessness response system quickly gets overwhelmed. For prevention services, Dakota County combines services and rental assistance to help people maintain housing. For example, one of our programs, we partner with our courts to provide services directly at eviction court. Our case management team at eviction court makes direct referrals to our remaining federal emergency rental assistance ERA funds to help people maintain housing. Since April of 2022, this program alone, which is a small subset of what we do, has helped 251 households maintain housing with $1.6 million in ERA funds. I have two quick examples to illustrate the people behind those numbers. A Dakota County resident recently finished chemotherapy and has been unable to work due to the side effects of the treatment. She's also a caregiver, the primary caregiver to her adult son. They're both stable in their home, but would have had significant health impacts if they had lost their housing, if it were not for the funds that were provided to them. In the second example, a veteran whose health issues required an organ transplant hadn't been able to work due to his compromised immune system. He had had COVID-19 several times and was trying to avoid getting sick going forward in order to be ready for this organ transplant. We were able to preserve his housing so that he could be ready for that transplant when it was available, and that would not have been able to happen if he had lost his housing and was in our homelessness response system. So those are just a couple of examples of things that our team see all day, every day. Dakota County has purposefully held on to some of our remaining federal ERA funds for this purpose, as there's no other financial assistance available that can react as quickly when needed at eviction court. And those households would have been evicted from their homes without this intervention. We are hopeful that the funds being proposed in House File 1440 can take the place of our ERA funds when they are depleted in the coming months. similar story to the previous testifiers, but our Dakota County Emergency General Assistance for Single Adults is gone until July 1st. Our FHPAP funds are depleted within the first week of each month. And our ERA team limits the number of referrals in order to ensure that we have some money for those that are experiencing that deep end crisis at eviction court. Our street outreach teams and shelters are seeing unprecedented need and are noting that many situations could have been prevented if there were available accessible funds. An episode of homelessness has a lifelong impact on people, and we can prevent that impact for many, many people with the right tools. So thank you very much for the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next, we have Dan Kitzberger, Legislative Director for Minnesota Housing Finance Agents. Welcome. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Dan Kitzberger. I'm the Legislative Director for Minnesota Housing. I just wanted to thank Chair Howard for bringing this bill forward. That's, you know, very much aligned with the governor's budget recommendations for Family Homeless Prevention and Assistance Program. You know, I don't certainly want to reiterate or I don't want to repeat or, you know, kind of belabor the points made already. We just know that, you know, after two rounds of significant federal funding, we're still in a difficult place. Many renter households are throughout the state, and so the public health type emergency may be starting to wane. The economic ramifications are still being felt, and so the governor felt that was important to address through this program. We've got a very strong and experienced network of administrators with statewide coverage who are able to help more households. They just don't have the resources to be able to reach them or to be able to do that. And so this is a step in that direction, including a large infusion early on to hopefully help reach more households who may still have rental arrears as a result of economic difficulty related to the pandemic. And then, of course, ongoing assistance to think about the other types of uses for FHPAP. A very flexible program, you know, can help with anything from a car repair, bus fare, you know, to rapid rehousing type of rental assistance. And so I just want to thank the committee for their consideration of this bill, and I look forward to working out the details in the next couple of months here.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone, for your testimony. Is there anyone in the public who would like to testify on this bill? Don't see anybody. All right. Lee Johnson, I believe you have an amendment.
I do have an amendment for this bill.
Okay. Please explain your amendment.
On this amendment, it reduces the amount from $100 million down to $55 million on page 1, line 6. The reason for this is last year, I think the number was $50 million in the bill or last biennium. This year, it's gone up to $100 million, which is much higher than the governor's recommendations in his budget. He actually called for the $50 million that really was looked at, just a $100 million increase to reach another 185 people. Doing that math, that comes out to around $5,400 per individual for this program. And extrapolating the numbers, on average, we have 8,000 people that are homeless a year or each day. And going to 5,500 raises the amount to 5,500 per person, and it extrapolates out to 10,000 people available for these funds to help with the homeless. And that's actually a higher number than we're actually seeing. So with this, it just gets the number down to a more realistic number that I think what is needed, especially with the fact that We just had a report in the paper that Housing Finance has about $85 million sitting in the bank that they could be using these programs right now, and they're not using that. So it's disappointing that we just heard testimony that counties are out of money, but they're sitting on, rough, I heard $75 million yesterday, and see the paper today has $85
million. Chair Howard.
Chair Hassan, Representative Johnson, I would respectfully urge a no vote. I do appreciate that this amendment presupposes that this is a valuable program that we need to be putting an increase of funding into. By what I would say, the balance of what we're hearing from community across the state indicates that $100 million would be warranted. When you look at the volume of rental assistance that went out during the pandemic, and even before we had the federal rent help dollars, the original CHAP dollars, a very similar network of administrators delivered over $100 million to Minnesotans in the span of a couple months. And so I think the resource is warranted. But again, I appreciate that, in a sense, that this amendment acknowledges that there's some bipartisan agreement that there is a need here, and that this program is a valuable tool to address it. But I would urge a no vote.
Right. Discussion. Representative Dotsett, do you have a comment?
No, not on this one. I'm sorry.
None. Okay. All right. All in favor of adopting the A3 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
No. The motion does not carry. The amendment is not adopted. I know Representative Nash had a burning question.
Well, Madam Chair, they're all good questions.
All right.
Mr. Chair, I was doing some math on the bills that have been introduced here in committee since we began this session, and total it up, and you're now with this bill at $5.36 billion. $5.36 billion in monies that you would like to, through the bills that you've put your name on and had your members move, that you would like to appropriate from our either current surplus, or you had a whopper of $4 billion that is an ongoing appropriation. And I think you set it up earlier that we have acute housing challenges and we need policy solutions to address those. And yet, we have not talked about how to change our inventory problems at all. All of these bills do nothing to address the inventory. We're not talking about building new apartment buildings. We're not talking about building new twin homes. We're certainly not talking about or hearing from people who build single-family homes. In fact, in the matter of single-family homes, the only times that we've really brought them up here in committee is when we hear bills to make it so that you can't buy them and turn them into rental properties. And I'm going to quote you again. You said that there's something perverse about a $17.6 billion surplus to not harness that towards housing solutions. You've not done anything regarding the inventory. And we are coming up on deadlines where we're hoping to talk about these things, but we've had run-throughs from all sorts of folks. We haven't heard from anybody who swings a hammer to build houses. And we haven't talked about, like, many of the, well, the Star Tribune wrote an excellent article about the fact that we are under inventoried. Many national organizations say that Minnesota has the worst inventory in the nation. And we have not lifted a finger to even hear from people who are those messengers or those proponents. I do believe that there is something perverse in not doing that. Housing is a big issue. It cannot be solved just by addressing only how we put people into the current inventory. It is preposterous for us to be this far into the session and we haven't even heard from people who can help illuminate the situation and shine a light on, well, illuminate and shine a light on. We've not even talked about it to the point where we can make an informed decision. You've got a lot of new members here that and Representative Chai has sold single-family homes in the past, and I would imagine all of us agree that we are under-inventoried. Why why are we talking about spending $5.36 billion and we haven't even broken a sweat to talk about how we're going to fix the inventory issues?
Chair Howard.
Representative Hassan, Representative Nash. We could spend some time offline. We have heard many bills that would build housing, one that's almost $1 billion in itself in terms of housing infrastructure bonds to build everything from affordable rental to home ownership. And we'll hear more because it is true we need to be doing both. We need to be focusing both on the acute needs of Minnesotans that can't afford their homes and also look at the systemic issues. And we have to build more units. I think there is an agreement of that. But I would say that with this bill before us, when you hear from community members, when you see the impact right now of folks are facing that can't afford their homes, you know, we've had dialogue about that we want to prevent people from getting into homelessness. This is a homeless prevention bill. You know, there's another package moving forward with some urgency, the Pathway Home Act, that would spend $250 million in areas of Minnesotans that are already experiencing homelessness. I would argue it's as important that we move forward something like this because we can help people before they get into homelessness. But as I've said many times, Representative Nash, we need to be in yes and mode when it comes to addressing these challenges.
Do you have a follow-up, Representative Nash?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate that. Well, Chair Howard, I guess my question would be yes and when are we going to have those conversations here in the Housing Committee? Because this is not just the Rental Landscape Committee. And I believe that this is a very valid conversation that we're having today with your bill. Mm-hmm. It is. But yes, and when are we going to talk about that? It is, I have a lot of folks who are asking me questions, and not just people from the builders and not just people from other groups. They're like, when are you guys going to talk about building houses in earnest? Not just, hey, here's a giant bag of cash that, as you admitted on your $4 billion whopper, we're never going to spend that money. That's just creating a sense of false hope. When are we going to sit down and have a frank conversation based in reality, based in fiscal responsibility, about how we do this moving forward? Because, yes, we have a $17.6 billion surplus. Ongoing, though, it's very minuscule, and your $4 billion bill blows through that by itself. We have to make sure that we're talking in a basis of reality. I don't think we are. And some of the solutions that we should be pursuing don't even cost a nickel. It's policy. So I'm begging you, give me a day. I might even give up any question that I ask the committee just in exchange to have some of these conversations. Well, that was a little crazy, but thank you, Mr. Chair.
Rep. Nash, I will say this, though. I have a House File 1472 for you. It's a home ownership bill that spends $200 million on new inventory. So if you want to sign on to that and support me on that, that would be great. It's all building brand new units. All right. Thank you. Up next, we have Rep. Dotset. You have a comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Chair Howard. I guess more of a question is concern I have is I understand the importance of a bill similar to this. The accountability that I'm concerned about is what do we have for accountability for these monies as they come through? You know, that's an awful lot of zeros. I know we've had that conversation before with some of our other things that we've seen here. The accountability that's going to fall in place as well as can you give me a true definition of homelessness? I'm really looking to get that explained to me. How do we define homelessness and how are we really looking at that? And I think us as a committee need to look at that closer. So we can really learn how to navigate through this a little bit better. The biggest question is how many of these individuals are choosing to be dislocated? Is it through mental illness? Are there other challenges? Maybe we're trying to put a Band-Aid on something where maybe we're not looking at the problem properly, and maybe we need to go a little bit deeper into this. You know, at the end of the day, we can't just keep trying to rain money down on these different programs and thinking that that's the solution. I think we need to look at really coming in with really, truly valid solutions and try to navigate through it that way. I think, you know, at the end of the day, we could be creating a bigger challenge by just trying to throw money at these programs, and I think we need to really be looking at the root of the problem as well. But again, I appreciate you presenting this to us, but again, accountability and true definition of homelessness, please.
Chair Howard.
Chair Hassan, Representative Dotsa, to the last point about the sort of root causes of why folks are homeless or housing instability, truly the largest cause is folks can't afford their housing. And so that's what this bill seeks to address, to help people avoid getting into that state to begin with. And there's a lot of evidence that shows that the cost of housing is what is displacing people. And some of our administrators of the program that work directly might have a comment as well. But I think it's very few, if anybody, that would choose to be in a situation where they can't afford their home and are facing an eviction or facing homelessness. To the question about a definition of homelessness, that is a good question. In different times, we use homelessness in different contexts. For example, and some folks, maybe even Mr. Kitzberger, might have the better technical definition. Like when we do a point in time count, we're counting folks that are unsheltered homelessness. But there's some broader definitions of homelessness that would include if families are couch hopping, for example. And so it's a number that's hard to truly get a great picture on, in part because of how do we define it. I mean, I really personally take the broadest definition of it, where if you lack that stability in your own home, you're struggling with homelessness. And I think I've got one more question to hit on, to the accountability piece. Mm-hmm. One thing with this program, with FHPAP, is we're utilizing trusted administrators, both county level or nonprofits. That these are folks that have trust within their communities, are well established, and I don't believe any sort of issues have been raised. I think program integrity is important, but one of the reasons we're utilizing this program is we're utilizing entities that know what they're doing, have the relationships in the local communities to deliver these needs, deliver these resources.
Thank you, Chair Howard.
Follow up?
Just a quick follow up, and I appreciate your response to that. I guess you and I have had some discussion before. We have some individuals, I mean, some of the homeless, I shouldn't say, are there's an atmosphere. We've got some of these tent communities that some of them just want to be left alone. Are there some things that we can look at to maybe address some of these scenarios? Because they're considered homeless.
Chair Howard.
Representative Hassan, Representative Dotseth, I don't know if it's a good question. Partly I referenced the Pathway Home Act that has some resources, more of our sort of shelter system investments. There was also a task force called the Shelter Task Force to kind of try to answer that question, because there is a real challenge where there are folks that are choosing to be unsheltered versus go to shelter because of concerns about safety or concerns about that environment. So I think it's a good question and things we need to wrestle with to help have the sort of systems in place where people are safe and have shelter.
All right.
Thank you, Chair Howard. I look forward to working further with you on these issues.
Thank you, Rep. Lee Johnson, you have questions?
Chair Howard. Chair Hassan, Chair Howard, I'm going to understand that you're trying to do what you think is right here. There's some good ideas in here. We need to help those who need help as best we can. But we want to make sure we get a hand up and not a handout. A handout just keeps people down. A hand up makes them a better person. There's some issues I have with your bill, especially after the amendment came on. One thing that you reference, 462A 204, that the bill has to follow that, except for some exemptions in your amendment. First of all, I'm going to talk about the original bill before it was amended, because the amendment didn't fix the issue. The issue is that this is $100 million, and only one grant has to go outside the metropolitan area required by statute. But in your amendment, it says under D, if the agency determines the metropolitan area is in need of additional support, to serve households that are homeless or at risk of home. The agency may grant funds to other than counties in the metropolitan area. And it's almost like it's saying we don't care about the best part of Minnesota, greater Minnesota. We have homeless issues in Duluth. We have homeless issues in Grand Rapids. We have homeless issues in St. Cloud, Wilmer, Rochester, Marshall, multiple areas across the state. But when you put this stuff in 462A, you now said only one area of the state, other than the metropolitan area, has to be covered. I think we need to fix that this should be, and fix 462A with, since you're in this chapter, that it should be available to all 87 counties in this state. All 87 counties have homeless issues, even in my area. We don't have a lot, but we do have some, so we need to deal with that. And Representative Nash brought up the fact that we have over $5 billion in bills we've heard in this committee. That is quite astonishing. We have a $17.6 billion surplus as of the last forecast. We're now down to $16 billion available funds because we've already spent over $1.5 billion on the floor of the House. In fact, the total number right now is $512.684 billion has been passed off the floor of the House so far this year. I'm not sure how much out of the Senate yet. I haven't crunched those numbers. And we talked, rent is going up. That's because we have a shortage of rental units. Nothing in this bill really helps that issue, other than shifting money. That doesn't reduce the cost of rent, doesn't reduce the cost of building a home, doesn't reduce the cost of buying a home. We're just taking, instead of having the money in pile A, we're taking money from pile B to put into pile C to buy the house or pay for the rent. The cost is the same. We got to figure out a way to increase the available units for rent for a program like this so people have a place to rent. And when there's more units than are needed, that's when the cost goes down. Now, also what's missing in this bill is the complete wraparound services. By the wraparound services, I mean giving people the education how to run a budget, how to figure out how to balance their checkbook so they're not short on funds. It's all these things need to be put together in these programs to make sure that we're giving a hand up and not a hand out. Now, we've heard a lot of things that costs are going up. We have a shortage. Minnesota is one of the most expensive places to build a home outside the East Coast or West Coast. But in this five-state area, we are the most expensive place to build a home. Why is that? We don't know. We have ideas, but we've done nothing to look at the cause of high home costs, high rent costs. We just keep throwing money at it and borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, and we still haven't found the cause of the issue. Now, some of the reason rent is going up, besides the shortage of units, is our property taxes keep going up. Business taxes, if the property is owned by a business, guess what? They pay business property tax. Liability insurance is going up. Property taxes are going up. Our property insurance is going up. Electrical costs are going up. There's all these things that keep going up that the housing provider in rental units usually have to pay for. We got to figure out a way to start reducing those costs so that the housing providers do not have to have such high rent costs causing these issues. Another issue I have in the bill is in your amendment, you no longer make it these $100 million subject to a subdivision 4, which requires of these grants to leverage private and public money to maximize project impact. There again, we're not doing things to do the best we can. It's just, here you go, let's just throw money away. You no longer require coordination and use of existing public and private providers of rental assistance, emergency shelters, transitional housing, or affordable permanent housing. No longer have to target the direct financial assistance, including assistance for rent. No longer have to have efforts to address the needs of specific homeless populations. No longer have identification of outcomes expected from the use of the grants awards. And no longer have to have a description of how the organization will use other resources to address the needs of homeless individuals. That's what your amendment just took out of the requirements of this money. I'm hoping that you will relook at that and fix that issue, because those are things that we should be doing. Another thing we need to look at in 642A 204 is the reporting requirements. We don't have to have a report to the legislature that actually works this. In fact, the report doesn't even go to the Minnesota Department of Housing Finance. It goes to the Interagency Task Force on Homeless. And maybe they'll tell the department, we don't know. We don't know if they'll tell us how these grants are working. But I think these reports actually need to go to this body so we can see, make sure that these grants are working and how they're working. I think I'll end it there. I know this bill is going to be laid over. I'm hoping to work with you, Rep. Chair Howard, on fixing some of these issues, because I think we do want to help, especially those in need, but we want to make sure it's a hand up and not a handout.
Chair Howard.
Representative Hassan and Lee Johnson, just a few comments. One, I would like to work with you on a few of these issues and make sure that I'm understanding the points and make sure that the language, if we need to create some more clarity, open to that discussion, because I'm not certain that some of those points would be withstanding under this language. Couple comments. One, to the notion of statewide coverage. Specifically, we're using this program because it does have coverage in all 87 counties. And because we do, as you mentioned, this is a statewide challenge, and I'm glad that we've got some recognition that that's the case. If there's something in the language to add on that front, I'm certainly open to it, because that's the case. And then I guess the last thing I said, just to this notion of the hand up and not a handout, and because this has sort of came up a few times over the course of our committee hearings on this. And I guess what I'd say to that is it's, you know, kind of hard to pull yourself up by your bootstraps if you're drowning under 6 feet of water. And Minnesotans are drowning under a system that has disparate outcomes, a housing crisis that is causing folks to really be in dire straits. And I think we have an obligation to make those sort of structural changes and to create that housing stability so that Minnesotans can prosper, because nobody nothing in your life is going to go well unless you have housing stability. And what we're talking about is folks that have lost a job or experiencing medical debt or have a kid that got sick, things that can happen to all of us. And that's what this bill is addressing for folks that have sort of fallen into that financial crisis that could happen to any of us. And a program like this that has statewide coverage that responds to the moment is the right tool at the right time. So I'll end there. Happy to continue to kind of working on this. I do think it's important that we move it forward urgently, and I hope that we're back to do so, you know, as soon as next week.
Thank you. Do you have a follow-up, Lee Johnson?
Chair Hassan, Chair Howard, I like your analogy of a drowning person. But if we just do a handout, we're not helping them. I was a lifeguard. We have to bring them up, get them from underwater to above water. And that's giving them a handout.
Thank you. Rep. Petersburg, you have a comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I did realize that I was ahead of after Representative Johnson, who did a great job of really talking about a lot of the issues. I wanted to bring up just a quick question that was actually referred to by Representative Nash. I want to preface that by saying that I was on the Prevention of Homelessness Committee last year, okay? And we had a lot of testifiers, and we had a lot of people talking about how to put roofs over people's heads that were homeless. And I regularly asked, how do we prevent it, understanding that prevention is a lot easier and cheaper to do than after the fact. And only one testifier came up with the solution that you're talking about here today, which is rental assistance. Because once people get into the evictions and so forth, it's there. And so I agree with that. I think that is one of the primary, and was the only one offered in all of last biennium's hearings, was that was the only option given for prevention of it. And Representative Nash referenced a article that was in, I believe it was the Star Tribune, indicating that the agencies have $85 million in emergency rental assistance still in its hands for something that we know is really helpful. My question to you is, are you aware of that? I mean, do you have any confirmation that that is actually true? Because sometimes papers get it wrong too. But do you have that information, or can you get it?
Chair Howard.
Chair Hassan, Representative Petersburg, first, I was on Preventing Homelessness with you, and I appreciated that question that you brought to that committee, because it's an important one, and I do think underlies why something like this is important. Yes, to answer your question, yes, I am aware. Mr. Kitzberger might be better positioned to answer with more specifics, but there are resources that I understand the agency has. I know that there are some rules around the use of those resources that Mr. Kitzberger could speak to more than I. This bill is a program that using sort of existing pipelines would allow us to, I think, get resources to folks potentially quicker. But I would defer to Mr. Kitzberger if he's got more to say on that.
Rep. Petersburg.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And that's all well and good. But here we got $85 million that's sitting. You want to spend $100 million for future programs. It seems to me if we could get that $85 million quicker response, we could already have an impact before your bill actually gets put into place. And so I would just suggest to you that as you think about this and as you hold it over, if maybe we can incorporate or also deal with the issues that the agency has with getting this dollars out would be better used rather than going for even more dollars, and that money's still sitting there because the issues haven't been resolved. So I would just give that out as food for thought and something for you to consider. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Howard.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. And there is ongoing conversations with the agency. And I guess what I would say is I think that there's a path where we're thinking about these resources deployed in tandem in a way that we're responding to the needs of our community in a sort of dynamic way. All to say that I think it's the right question to ask about how do we do this sort of in tandem and make sure the right hand knows what the left hand's doing.
Thank you, Chair Howard. Our last member is Rep. Perez Vega.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chairman Howard, you know, this is pretty amazing stuff to see that there's funds that are going to these agencies, to these organizations that aren't giving handouts. They're giving you the opportunity to survive. They're giving you the opportunity to not have to sleep in the streets. I think about so many of the disparities in this housing crisis that just didn't start with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. It has been ongoing injustice. Mm-hmm. This to me isn't a handout. This isn't charity. These are steps towards justice in a housing crisis that stems from so many disparities that families don't deserve, that children don't deserve. And let me tell you, when I think about the amazing organizations that are those housing agencies that are in Duluth, that are in Bemidji, and that are in my district, that I've known because I volunteered or I've done translation services for our Spanish-speaking community, man, thinking 20 years back. This is an opportunity of continuation, but not just at the same level. Let's expand more. Let's grow more, because it's not, let's sign up and say I'm homeless here. No, these are learning how to survive when you don't come from generational wealth, when you don't come from someone who's ever owned a home before, when, whether it's needing help with a mortgage payment or a month's rent to help you catch up, or even on top of allowing utilities with rent, because it's real. It's a reality. The beauty to see, even with organizations like Habitat for Humanity, I think about Habitat for Humanity because I think about so many folks that I know personally who have struggled with just surviving from where they were born and wanting to not have to worry about the rent and are working every day to feed their families. And they hear about an opportunity to have accessibility to what these funds are going towards so that they can learn how they can turn from being renters into homeowners, how they just need that extra boost of support, and they are working so hard and their kids are so excited to not have to struggle and live in a one bedroom when there's more than three kids. And their parents just need a little extra support, not a handout, a support so that they can continue to grow, because isn't that what we're here is to balance and grow together, not put people out in the streets. No one deserves that. No one deserves to be dying from not having a home. Yet they're trying to feed the mouths of their children. This is the reality right here in this district and outside, not just a metropolitan area. And you know, I like to see that, yes, if there is a little extra need in the metro area, that there's a support from the entire state of Minnesota supporting each other through those agencies to say, you know what, we're doing all right over here on this side. Let's help you out. That's what equity is. And this right here in HF 1440 shows an opportunity to get it going right here, because it hurts. It hurts to see people drown. It hurts to almost drown yourself while you're trying to make sure that other people don't drown. These aren't handouts. These are opportunities, and the steps that we're taking, and they're baby steps, right? I wish they could be leaps, but we're taking baby steps, and we have to fight for these baby steps towards equity. Thank you.
Chair Howard.
Thank you, Representative Perez Vega, and thank you, members. Just to recenter us, you know, when I think about the reasons to pass this bill, it is the mother who lost a job, who was trying to provide for their kids, the veteran who's worried about their health care because of the roof, needing the roof over their head, the families that are experiencing homelessness. And the children who are maybe being displaced from their schools simply because they can't afford their homes. And This bill will address some of those urgent needs while we continue to focus on the long-term issues that we've been discussing all session long. And so I look forward to us working on this, and I hope to be back next week and moving this bill forward because that's the urgency that's required. Frankly, it's overdue. And so with that, Member, I would urge support of this bill as we lay it over.
Thank you, Chair. Howard renews his motion that House File 1440, as amended, to be laid over for possible inclusion. Members, our next hearing will be tomorrow, February 15. We will be hearing four bills. Do you have a comment? Lee Johnson, do you have a comment?
Chair Hazan, Chair Howard. We're down to about 6 weeks left before deadlines. I'm just wondering, since we've had over $5 billion worth of bills heard in this committee so far, if you've heard of any targets or any targets are available so we can really start digging into the budget.
Chair Howard.
Chair Hassan, Representative Johnson, as you might know, we'll have the economic forecast that'll come out end of February. That'll give us another sense of that. I don't know the exact timelines on the budget target discussion, but I do think that there's hope that we might proceed with that on a little bit more expedited timeline than previous sessions. But I will say with the resources that we have, there's, and we've seen this in other bills, there's no reason we sort of have to wait to the same conventions of this body and push all our work to the end. Where there's good work that we can do to help people, we ought to move it forward now. I think this bill is a good example of that. But yeah, I don't know specifics on timelines as they become available. If I'm aware of them, we'll definitely commit to sort of share that and make sure that we're communicating about timelines and when we might have a sense of targets.
All right. Well, members, our next hearing is tomorrow, February 15. We'll be hearing four bills. Chair wants you to be on time, please. Thank you. And with no other business, we are adjourned.